Welcome to the Score Podcast.
We all know that poor or no financial planning is bad for our financial well-being. But is it like life and death? Turns out that it is. I'm Jeff Richardson, host of the Score Podcast. In this episode, we'll explore research conducted by a fintech founder and CEO that investigates whether the lack of financial planning is related to shortened life expectancies. It's a grim subject, and any connection to the fact that we're headed into Halloween season, much to the disappointment of my six-year-old, is completely coincidental. On today's podcast, we're pleased to be joined by Dr. Sean Hundofte, who recently published research that he and a grad school colleague published that investigated, quote, whether lack of planning and future orientation in financial behavior is associated with a higher mortality risk. Sean is not just a curious researcher. His background is remarkable, and at present, he is founder and CEO of Solve Finance. Sean has spent most of his life in household finance as an investor, researcher, and originator. He ran customer acquisitions, amongst other things, for a major mortgage lender, and got a deep appreciation of how broken and misguided most online financial advice is for borrowers. Previously, he studied household use of credit at the New York Federal Reserve Bank, studied household finance as a PhD at Yale, and was even a mortgage professor at the NYU Stern School of Business, an adjunct professor for real estate capital markets, to be precise. He left his day job to start Solve Finance, which helps households optimize their finances using market data to their advantage and letting technology do the work for them. Sean, thanks for joining the Score Podcast today.
Thanks for having me. Look forward to chatting.
So let's start with the research I mentioned in the intro. Can you share with us some of the high-level findings of your report? What are the connections and correlations between financial planning and well-being, or even more specifically with mortality rates?
It sort of stems from this literature looking at wealth and health. And so we narrowed in on looking at someone's propensity to plan for the future in two large sets of survey data in the US and the UK. And in both countries, we found a relationship between that likelihood to plan at all, you know, to think of your finances more than a few weeks out, had a strong relationship to mortality rates, you know, the ultimate health outcome. And there's sort of two main ways you can think of that happening. One is, well, people who are thinking of the future and thinking, you know, Sean, that's likely to think of how healthy future Sean is a year from now financially, is also more likely to think of how I'm going to be doing for smoking or drinking heavily, other activities, you know, engaging in exercise. If you're likely to do one, you're likely to do the other. And then there's also the financial channel. So having a safety buffer and, you know, essentially having more money, you're giving future Sean more money by planning for that future. And so, you know, you're more likely to avoid financial distress. Financial distress is adversely related to health outcomes. And I guess one of the interesting things about looking at it in both the US and the UK is the UK has a nationalized health service. So it's not directly, you know, it's not only related to having the money available for care.
That's an interesting dynamic there at the end. And before we conclude the podcast, we'll share with listeners where they can read more about that research, because I know that there's going to be a lot of interest. So let's pivot a second to another idea I mentioned in the intro. So what did you see in the marketplace in terms of financial and credit advice apps and online advice that led you to develop Solve Finance, and how does Solve Finance differ?
I guess the market gap I saw running direct-to-consumer digital acquisitions for a mortgage lender was I was paying online websites millions of dollars a month to have them essentially steer users to us, or I was competing, trying to get them to send users to us, and they'd send them to higher cost lenders. So that really gave me a firsthand experience that a lot of websites that you might think of as borrowing advice, these are websites that will have prices or rates, lenders you can click on, marketplaces, as we'd call them in the industry are all lead generators, and they're great advertising machines, but what they aren't are great advice machines. And just, you know, back to my driving motivation and interests of, you know, people's financial and life outcomes, if you aren't actually putting advice first and instead advertising revenues first, there's a gap for someone to take those complicated financial problems off of users' hands and solve them for them. So that's really the genesis of Solve Finance, is only getting paid for advice, being affordable, objective, incentive-aligned advice. So if you help someone, you get paid. And if you don't help them, you don't get paid, rather than this sort of conflicted incentives, hidden cost world online, where, you know, you have an advertising business model and you're getting paid. Maybe, you know, even if the user has a worse outcome, the user can be more confused and you make more money.
Putting the consumer first, that's awesome. So I want to ask you this question. It's come up actually a number of times as I've walked the halls at different mortgage conferences. A lot of mortgage originators, you know, they're forced to turn people down from time to time. And of course, they don't make any money when they turn people down. If anything, they probably lose money. But they want to keep consumers in the ecosystem. So how does Solve Finance work with mortgage originators to help those who get turned down reapply with a better chance of approval?
Yeah, one of the, you know, channels we've clicked with has been lender denials and reaching out to borrowers at the point of denial. It's a great time to take action. You know, the user has just been given the information that they don't qualify for something, whether it's a mortgage loan, you know, a rental, insurance, whatever. And we do a combination of things that you might have come across before, like helping someone work on their credit score, visibility sort of things, old school PFM 1.0. And then we also do like the AI copilot scanning live market data across options and what could they be doing, where could they get to? And that's sort of the new thing we combine to be a holistic borrowing outcome advisor. So help make it easy as possible to navigate to the best possible borrowing outcomes, like a Google Maps for credit. So that user's just being denied a loan, lender hands them off to us, the borrower's paying us, we're their advisor, but in return for being handed that user, we can also let the lender know when that user looks like they could requalify and fit whatever criteria we were given by a mortgage lender.
I know that that is an important nut to crack, and there'll be a lot of people knocking on your door if you're successful in demonstrating positive outcomes. So this is it's not a lame question, but it's a common question. You know, there's just tons of educational content out there, right? Including on VantageScore's website. And we're beginning to even teach financial education in our schools, but what's lacking in how we're teaching financial literacy and credit education that kind of comes through in your engagement with consumers and kind of your experience in working in your various positions?
I guess part of our founding hypothesis is to make things as simple as possible and to set up who your customer is so that you can be trusted, so people can be hands-off and essentially delegate something to us. You know, we're a financial advisor for debt, just instead of, you know, a financial advisor for your wealth, you know, managing your stocks, giving you tax advice. So someone has to clearly be working for you and your best interest for you to be hands-off. You know, like I'd get phone calls from old MBA classmates on what to do with their mortgages, which shows you that it's almost not a question of financial education. Some things are just so complicated. You know, if you get to an MBA, a few degrees, you've been in the finance industry and you still need to call someone else for advice. You know, some things are just so specialized. We shouldn't expect every household to get up to speed on them. We don't ask everyone to get a medical degree and practice surgery for 7 years to manage their health. So I think there's like simple behavioral and habits and good habits, good practice, like financial planning, thinking of the future. There's like training we can do, coaching that we can do for everyone. There's some things we shouldn't expect education to help with, because it's only going to be a small percent of people that can get up the curve that far to be able to solve the problem themselves. So we need trusted partners, whether it's a realtor, whether it's your best loan officer, whether it's Solve Finance, to be the money doctor for most households.
And of course, they need to have the consumer's best interest in mind.
Yeah, and be trusted and to not be mis-selling what they're actually doing. I mean, your original question also asked me, you know, across all my experience, you know, a funny thing in the literature, in the research, is there's really not a statistically consistent relationship between financial education and financial outcomes. And that's a puzzle in household finance research. So if you look across, you know, 20, 50 different studies of like, oh, we randomized financial education to this group and not to this other group, or there was this natural experiment introducing financial education, there's just not a consistently positive relationship. So typical financial education isn't the answer for getting people to better outcomes.
That's fascinating. Sean, we should circle back on that and some other topics. Your background is so diverse and incredible. Thanks so much for joining the podcast today. And how can listeners learn more about your research and Solve Finance?
Yeah, I guess for my research, you could go to seanhundtofte.com. It's going to be difficult to spell both first and last name, seanhundtofte.com. You know, that's my old professorial website. More interestingly, if you want help with your debts or how to afford a home in the worst affordability environment that we've had, go to www.solve, S-O-L-V-E, like solving a problem, solve.finance.
That's awesome. And we'll include the links to both of those in the post.
Thanks so much.
If you're one of the lucky ones, you'll never experience what it's like getting turned down for a loan. For the rest of us, it's an emotional and deflating moment. It's great to see innovators leaning into that teachable moment and helping consumers put themselves in a better position. Timing is everything. Delivering the right credit education at the moment it's needed makes all the difference. And speaking of time, it's a finite resource, right? Sean's research shows us that properly planning for our financial futures means that in return, we get more time to do what's important. I'm Jeff Richardson, and I look forward to our next conversation.
The views and opinions expressed in this episode do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of VantageScore Solutions. Visit VantageScore.com to learn more.